What's up, biohackers? I've got to tell you about this delicious drink that I am sipping on. You know we try to eat clean, prioritize pure ingredients, especially when it comes to our protein powder. If we're not intentional with our sourcing, we could be exposed to so many harmful chemicals and toxins that are hidden in what appear to be healthy and nutrient-rich ingredients. This is why I got to tell you about PW1 whey protein powder from Puri. Puri is third-party tested against more than 200 contaminants. It's also free from hormones, GMOs, and pesticides. Bonus, it is soy-free and gluten-free. It has 21 grams of protein per serving, which makes it a really easy way to increase your daily intake, especially for our ladies out there. And what we all want to know when it comes to our nutrition, is it delicious? Yes, it really, truly is. I am drinking it every single morning these days. I've been pretty much drooling over the bourbon vanilla flavored protein powder in my morning nutrition stack. It's great in my coffee, my home-crafted smoothie, and actually works really well just in my shaker bottle with water. These ingredients are so simple. There's no added artificial sweeteners, so none of the bitter, cringy tastes that come along with a lot of healthy powders. It's just pure and so yummy. Puri is pure origin, potency, and peace of mind. They believe in full transparency with all of their products, including their PW1 whey protein powder. And each batch is certified by the Clean Label Project. Okay, but what does that mean? It is tested for heavy metals, bisphenols, residual solvents, and all of the other yucky stuff we do not want in our bodies. Lastly, every Puri product comes with a QR code with those specific batch test results, so you know exactly what you're getting. Of course, we always want to educate and empower you to be your own best health advocate, so don't just take our word for it. With Puri, you can find the real transparent data behind every single batch, which makes Puri a supplement brand that we can easily trust. All right, so here's the details. Right now, Puri is offering our listeners 20% off their PW1 whey protein and all of their other incredible products. Go now to our exclusive URL, puri.com/biohackerbabes, and use our promo code biohackerbabes. This will even apply to your already discounted subscriptions, and you'll get almost a third off of the price. They are being so, so generous with our audience. Go to puri.com/biohackerbabes. Do not wait. We have our promo code biohackerbabes at puri.com/biohackerbabes. This is nutrition made oh so simple. All right, biohackers, let's get back to the show.
Health span, lifespan, both combined is lifespanning, is like bringing more years, but bringing more years to your life on purpose.
Hey there, welcome to the Biohacker Babes podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Renee, a certified nutritional consultant with a master's degree in nutrition.
What's up? And I'm Lauren, functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and Czech movement specialist. We're sisters and we're joining forces to empower you to become your own biohacker and upgrade your life.
Our mission is to provide actionable steps so you can optimize your health, strengthen your intuition, and support your body's natural healing abilities. Because life is too short to not feel your best every single day.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 238 of the Biohacker Babes. My name is Renee and I am your co-host for today's episode along with my sister Lauren.
What's up, everyone? This is Lauren tuning in from Maryland today. How's it going?
Yeah, good to see you. Oh man, this conversation, like how full does your heart feel right now? This was such a great podcast. We had our dear friend Jean Falacara come on. Yeah, he really is just like biohacker goals. We love what he does like every day in his mission and his passion on the topic of biohacking and health optimization. I think you're going to get a lot of like tangible advice from today's episode of things that you can do to optimize your health and your health span. And it's also just so simple at the same time. I mean, he just has such a beautiful presence and optimistic outlook on life. I'm just like, oh, I want more of that. So I'm just feeling really inspired. And I also, something else that we were talking about during the episode, the power of music. And we got tight on time. I didn't bring this up, but there's a movie with Zac Efron called We Are Your Friends, where he's a DJ. I don't know if you've seen this, Lauren. Mm-mm. I highly recommend this movie. It's not going to win any Oscars, and it's old. It's like maybe 10 years ago. But he's a DJ, and it shows you the BPMs throughout each song and what it's literally doing to people's heart rates in the audience.
Oh, I've seen this. You've seen it.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. And what he was saying about like the power of music and the BPMs and like, oh man, just like thinking about techno and EDM, I'm like getting fired up. I'm going to go play some after this. But anyways, I thought that was a cool thing.
Yeah, he really just got me thinking about our environment and all the things that we are subconsciously choosing throughout the day and how we could maybe just slightly optimize those inputs for. He really explains how the brain controls everything. And he's just unbelievably impressive. His bio is insane. His Instagram, if you watch him and his fitness and his podcasting, insane. You're going to be unbelievably wowed. But the most impressive thing is he is probably the most humble, kind, and gentle person I've ever met. So truly, he is biohacker goals. And I loved how he did go on this journey of wearables and collecting data. But I think we're all in alignment that the end goal is to get off of this stuff. We don't want to be attached to technology. We want our own bodies, our intuition, and our own intelligence to reign supreme, right? And to have that sovereignty, not be reliant on the data.
Absolutely.
So we'll share how to get there.
Okay.
It can be a process, but man, he's inspiring. So very excited to bring him to you.
All right. So Jean Falacara, he is passionate about marrying science, art, and technology, big on the details and pushing the envelope, pioneer, biohacker, and champion of lifespan extension. He thrives on humility, sophistication, and vitality. Jean has earned the distinction of academic excellence, biotech engineering honors, and advanced technology applications from MIT in Boston. This is in addition to dozens of awards and tributes, as he is recognized as a most disruptive entrepreneurs in 2023, leading global business influencers 2023, top biohacking influencer, top entrepreneurs to follow, top motivational influencers, and top 10 athlete Instagram influencers. And I will let you go to his website, jeanfalacara.com, to see the rest of his super impressive bio and all the things he's up to. But I want to go ahead and bring him on and jump right into this.
Let's go.
All right. Jean Falacara. Hopefully I pronounced your last name correctly. Falacara, welcome to the Biohacker Babes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be here. I'm so happy to be with you both. I love you anyway. And it's every time I see you guys, it's fun. It's interesting. It's all about what life has best to bring. So that's it. I'm here with you. Let's have fun.
Yes. Yes. We will. We will. We're so honored that you could share this time with us.
Thank you. We had a blast on your podcast. It was my favorite podcast. The conversation was just so much fun. So hopefully I can return the favor and be a great host like you were. So we have lots of fun stuff to chat about today, but I think to kick it off, something that has really grabbed my attention is that we talk a lot about lifespan and health span on the podcast. I think our audience is very familiar with those terms, but not life spanning. Mm-hmm. I think this is a new word for our audience. So I want you to just jump in and explain what is life spanning and what is the mission behind this for you.
Cool. Thank you for that. Life spanning is a word that I invented because I was trying to get away from the term of biohacking, which I like. I'm a biohacker like you are for a long time too, and still the legacy of biohacking is awesome, but some people don't perceive it the proper way, and me as a scientist as well, I have some reluctance to use it for explaining what I'm doing, because in general terms, science will tell you that you cannot cannot hack your biology. So starting from there, I was trying to figure out what's the best way to express what we're trying to do as biohacker. But at the same time, we biohacker have been kind of elitist or cultish a bit. And the movement became more and more closed. And there is 8 billion people on this planet, and it cannot be just like a small circle of friends improving their health, but the world has to go in that direction. So health span, lifespan, both combined is life spanning, is like bringing more years, but bringing more years to your life on purpose and quality life, not just like, because the medical field, pharmaceutical field has been doing a great job by extending lives already, trying to, well, yes, I know, treating some part and creating some others. But I think that we extended life span so far because of that. But our role, I'm going
to get some water. Take a second.
Get some water, yeah.
I mean, all what you're
and
saying.
By the way, water is life.
Water is life. I got evidence. My water here too. Yep.
Babe, well, I'll just take a sip. Quick water break.
All right, everyone listening, go take a sip of water. Stay hydrated.
That's it. Yeah. stay. It's so important. But so that is it. Like life spanning in general is like bringing more years, quality life, going further than what it was supposed to be with the medical and the health care system that exists today. And I have to always remind people, this is so important. Like, you cannot be a biohacker if you don't start by implementing the basic. The basics are put your baseline to this 90% that is required. And this 90% is only achievable by using natural behaviors in your lifestyle. Waking up and stretching a bit, drinking water before coffee, looking at the sunrise, and all these things that are so natural, but so, like, we forgot to use them. They were natural for everyone before, and our society, our economy, and our system made us forget that they are so important. So build up that baseline of natural behaviors to 90%, then become a biohacker. And the whole concept of that is going to be called life spanning.
Yes. Yeah. I agree so much. I feel like the intentions were always good with biohackers and maybe like the man that claims to be the original, I think had good intentions, but you know, it's always really interesting and exciting to have new technology. So somewhere along the way, it's like, we got swept up in the tech, but you're so right. It's like, if we're not doing the foundations, then we're not going to be able to benefit from these advanced technologies. And when we spoke on your podcast, I was so impressed to hear that you really don't use a lot of data or wearables. You're a scientist. You have an incredible scientific background, but you are using your intuitive body to really guide your life, which is what we're trying to do with our audience, is really educate and empower through wearables so we can come back to the intuition, which for a lot of people ends up being a longer journey.
It's a normal journey to be there, because we forgot the neuronal connection that are required to have the proper proprioception and body inner feeling. We are equipped with that, but we're not using it because we forgot to keep the wire activated. So of course you can use. At the beginning, I was using wearable and tracker and everything to learn. But when you get to the point that you don't need them anymore and you listen to your body to the point that you can feel even frequencies and vibration or elements that are missing in your blood flow, then get away from these tracer and trackers, because they have a negative side is they are addictive. And everything related to addiction is not good for your brain. And what is not good for your brain is not good for your health. Then you go back to the starting point and you create oxidative stress, which is not good for your longevity. It's a circle. So that's why I'm preaching like natural behaviors, also proprioception to the extreme. And then you're going to be in the perfect balance that allows you to really reverse your biological age. That's the only way. You can take all the chemicals you want. It's not going to be enough. You're always going to be releasing too much cortisol in one way, or too much overtraining in another way, or not eating the right things, or not drinking enough again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there we break. Are.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're reconnecting the wire, which is our intuition, by using the data. And yeah, I think we agree. It's not a long-term solution. It's a way through. But then begs the question. We can answer this throughout the podcast. How do we know when it's the right time to get off the data? But I'm just so impressed with you that you've been able to really harness that inherent wisdom of your body. So powerful.
It's a step by step. Yeah. Thank you for that. I think that everyone can do it. You know, have you ever wondered why rabbits, for example, that we should respect every single animal on this planet, but rabbit can feel people walking from a mile away, a bear can smell from 7 miles, and a wolf can hear sounds there. They don't have a different network system than we have. It's just wired differently. So, and they're coming from the same origin. We are all coming from the same origin. So why our brain, that is supposed to be the most advanced brain as human, has lost all these perception abilities that other animals have developed in another way? It's because we speak. Maybe we speak too much.
It's very noisy, but, right? Yeah, we don't listen. Yeah. My dog Rudy knows when I'm coming up the driveway. I can't be seen, but he can sense it.
And he knows. Yeah. And we are equipped the same way. They have those perception sensor for different frequencies that we just forgot to use for so long that you can connect them back step by step. So you need wearable at the beginning to learn your body to, but you have to, you know, when you're using wearable, you have to remember that it's not the machine that is guiding you. It's you that is guiding the machine to guide yourself. So don't be a slave of it. Don't like, look, you have a Fitbit, you're going, you're looking at your heart rate. Simple, not even your HRV, heart rate. Do you really need to know that moment, that value? Yes, until you know. I can tell you now, like just like this. I can tell you my heartbeat is about 72.
Wow.
I don't need a Fitbit for that.
Goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have like a range. I'm like somewhere between 70 and 90. That's sure. Yeah, that's very impressive.
Be 72. Maybe I'm 75, but I can guarantee you I'm in that range. Yeah.
Wow. And how long did you use wearables and tech?
I would say that. Yeah. And I change from one to the other, to the other, to the other, because sometimes you get one and you get so addicted to what he's saying that you need to change to change the perception of those data that are getting into your brain and your in your memory processing. So I've been using wearable probably, I would say, a good 5-6 years in a row, but it's been like over 5 years that I haven't got any on me. And sometimes I put one just back for the fun of it, to see if I'm still accurate on what on my thought, on my perception. And as long as I keep being accurate, I'm not going to put any back. And at the end of the day, look at this. You're wearing a Oura and you wake up in the morning and you didn't sleep well because your ring is telling you that. Your day is fucked up. Just because of that, there's a study that shows that point, actually. Like you may... They put fake Oura ring to people, and when they were waking up, they were telling them, you didn't have much sleep tonight. And most people go, and their day was bad. And it was not even true. So it was just like so their perception of their sleep. Yeah. So, and even you have a Oura ring, it tells you you didn't sleep well. You don't even know what to do.
That's a great point. Yeah. And Lauren and I talk about this too. Like, I think there's different personalities with the data. Like, I don't get as upset as I think some biohackers would if they saw like a 50, but you're right. It still gets into your head that day. You start questioning, well, what did I do yesterday? What did I do wrong? Well, how did that happen? You know? Yeah. So definitely
where did I fail.
Yeah. Please, and it's sad because, you know, most of the time whatever you do doesn't affect that much your whole system and like testosterone level or stress level or glucose monitoring. You're gonna have a donut. Your glucose is gonna spike and blah blah blah. But so what? An hour after, you're back on track because your body is well balanced.
Yeah.
So just think about live. Take time to live and to enjoy every moment. Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful right there. Yeah. That's a wrap.
Everyone cancel. We're done. Your bye, guys. Cancel the subscriptions. Take off all your tech. We're done. Go outside.
Yeah. Go outside and live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would love to do a little rewind and hear how did you first get into, whether you want to call it biohacking or lifespanning or just like your interest in health? Have you always been passionate about it?
Yeah, yesterday when I finished my speech, so we had a round table and people were coming to the round table and I got swamped by like so many people coming and asking questions. And this question came so often, like, when did you start to be a biohacker? And I go like, probably the day I was born, because it's natural behavior. But in matter of fact, I think that my whole life I've been fascinated by performances, but the performance of the brain first. And it started from there. I was obsessed, compulsively obsessed by how the brain perform, how the brain memorize stuff, how the brain structure information to serve you. And then overall, we always talk about intelligence, but the intelligence is like you got that ton of information. And intelligence allows you to connect the dot in between those points and make sure that when you are reasoning, you can put some things that is structured enough in perspective. So many people are reading books. They have information. They're watching podcasts. They're learning on certain things. But ask them to put those information coming from all the space together and to make a build up process of intelligible ideas, not many can do that. So I was fascinated by that and I was trying to optimize my brain. And it started a long time ago, of course, tried yoga, meditation and all these things. And I couldn't do it because of my ADHD, because I was always trying to do something else. So I've learned many things. And then I realized that breathing and some technologies like transcranial direct stimulation were really efficient to get your brain primed and neuroplastic, because how we retain information, it's through neuroplasticity. And the second factor is like you need rest to have your brain getting into the neurogenesis phase and process this information that you can use it later on. So I was using transcranial direct stimulation. And then I saw that transcranial direct stimulation was very cool for my sport performances. And I was just like, holy smoke, I can have a brain and use my brain for sports. So I started to preach that if you put your brain on the right pathway, your performances in sports are going to be better. And then people started to call me a cyborg because I was processing information and I was learning faster than everyone in a sport that is not that easy, calisthenics. So step by step, from those two, transcranial direct stimulation to infrared stimulation on the brain, then of course the huge advance that are made today on sound and light stimulation for the brain, music. Music has a profound effect on the brain. I like have a couple of tricks. For example, before even being a true biohacker, I was using music. I used to be a DJ. So I was using 128 BPM music and put my steps on the 128 BPM rhythm. So my brain could be just aligned on what I was doing. And then I was reversing my walk So my brain could go even more plastic. And to get it to the extreme neuroplasticity, I was closing my eyes, reverse my walk, and making the same long step on the 128 BPM. And that, I've learned after, puts your brain not only in a super state of neuroplasticity, but also in a freaking deep state of meditation. So you clean it up, and at the same time, you have information processed. And that was the beauty of it. So all along the way, the most important thing, whatever you do in biohacking or in life improvement and longevity, it's pay attention to your brain, because this is the central system to process everything in your body. As simple as that.
Yeah.
So that's my parkour in the biohack at large. But
yeah,
I started when I was born. It's kind of true. Almost.
That's a great point. Yeah. I guess we all pretty much did, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the goal is if, you know, this is the beauty of what we are here. We are pioneering the way that we are using our brain and our biology at large. And we're just scratching the possibilities of human performances, at large, performances, not just by the brain, but the performance of your brain transposed to your body, to your physique.
What's up, biohackers? Are you tired of feeling tired? Maybe you're one to hit the snooze button from time to time and then slam your head straight back on the pillow. With all of the responsibilities that we have to take care of in a given day at work, at home, with our families, with our friends, it's no wonder that we feel tired so often. Maybe you're the kind of person that takes care of a lot of different things and a lot of different people. But if you really stop to think about it, who is taking care of you? One of my favorite strategies is to use Magnesium Breakthrough, an all-natural supplement that helps me to sleep more peacefully and reduce my daytime fatigue by supporting my energy on a cellular level. It even strengthens muscle and improves our heart and brain function. While most magnesium supplements aren't full spectrum, Magnesium Breakthrough is the only magnesium supplement on the market that contains the optimal ratio of all 7 essential types of magnesium. Imagine having the strength and energy to get out of bed every morning and face the day boldly and courageously, to be able to show up as your best self and keep that energy up through the day and into the night. So if you want to feel more energized and get the best night's sleep you've had in perhaps forever, check out bioptimizers.com/biohackerbabes and use the promo code biohackerbabes10. Again, that is bioptimizers.com/biohackerbabes and the promo code biohackerbabes10. You will be amazed at how much better you feel by taking Magnesium Breakthrough. Let's get back to the show.
I love your draw to music. I'm curious, do you think that we are subconsciously drawn to a particular type of music as a way to feel a certain frequency or get in a certain emotional state? Do you think there's like an underlying motivation there that a lot of people are not aware of? I mean, music definitely is universal, right?
Yeah, definitely. And some people are more like, if I put a piece of music that you like, and let's pretend you wake up and you're sad, but I turn on the music and you recognize one piece that makes you cheerful and brings back memories from a part of your life where you were really happy, I guarantee you that you're going to shift your mood right away, and your happiness and your serotonin will flow into your, and dopamine will flow into your bloodstream, and you're going to shift completely your mood. Yes, we are very sensitive to different type of music. Of course, it's a learning process. I always recommend young parents, when they have their kids, like the first step is, even when you are pregnant, listen to music. Put music close to your belly when you have a kid. And when they are young, teach them to listen to music. There was a study that was showing that some Beethoven and Mozart, actually Mozart more than others, was really creating sparkling stuff in the brain of babies. And then I found out in 1998, I think, that a study that was showing that techno music was even more powerful because of the redundant BPM process that was behind, and then the harmonic from the techno music were so complex because of the electronic music coming in that it became even more neuroplastic generator than classical music. And the fun of it is that that study was showing people in rave party, and I've been in rave party, like all at the same pace with their brain in a state of flow that was almost constant, not just like for a couple of minutes. So music is fantastic.
Renee, I think you've been onto something for so long. She was listening to EDM in high school and I was like, stop, it's so aggressive.
And everyone thought I was such a weirdo in high school.
I was not ready for it at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. when we were driving to school. Boom, boom, boom. But now
I was like, let's go.
She was ready. She knew. She subconsciously was like, I'm healing. Neuroplasticity. Yeah. It took me going to Burning Man, getting exposed to it in a whole different environment. Yeah. And I remember the first time I went, I came home. I was like, this is like a lullaby. I'm like, this is really soothing. It just, my whole perspective shifted. And I do feel that there is a sense of like flow state and coherence. But you know, you got to be exposed to it in the right
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Sometimes, you know, even like, I'm not against that, but sometimes I think that like substances that open up the brain connection, like MDMA or ketamine or shrooms, can help you to get that click that shows you those pattern of music influence in your brain. It's funny, I was asking, I don't remember, it was probably David Sinclair over the weekend, and I go like, should we put everybody on ayahuasca to make them connected? And of course not, but those connection in the brain, some people, they just forgot that they exist and they need to make them, and sometimes those substances can help.
Yeah, I mean, maybe even just like a microdose of mushrooms. Maybe it's not full ayahuasca ceremony, but just to open
I've
that
never
up.
Been to a ceremony like that. Maybe one day I'll do it, but
I haven't either. In the meantime, I'll just keep listening to my techno music, which actually it's funny. I just found a stack of my old techno and trance CDs in my parents' attic. And I brought them back to Vegas, and I realized I don't have a CD player.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go buy. I'm like looking on Amazon to buy a CD player so I can listen to this old music. I'm just curious
art for now. You just got to put them on the wall.
Yeah. Curious to see how different the music, my techno was 20 years ago versus what I listened to
pretty
today.
Much. Yeah. Today,
the same. I don't know.
It's pretty much the same, but today they have like so much technology that, that has changed that the mix and the harmony are more and more complex. You know Julia Jones, Dr. Julia Jones from UK? So she's a doctor in neuroscience, and she's studied everything related to music. She came up with a concept, and she's working with Sony Music, a concept that you can combine music and breathing to put people into meditation faster. And they are working on a way to combine music and breathing to actually cure anxiety to PTSD PTSD and other things like that. It's interesting. The way that they've done it, if I do remember well, is like instead of having boom, 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 three, bass, they added one for three times, and then they added one another time three times later. So the brain gets triggered all the time with this, and if you put your breathing rhythm at the same pace, then you get into flow state and meditation. Yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah. Does she have like some kind of like app or software or something?
They came up with an app, and it's on Spotify as well now. They have a few pieces there. Awesome. I'll share the link. Dr. Julia Jones, fascinating woman. She's a rock star. She's like 60, but she's in a band playing.
Yeah,
very cool.
Love it. Power of music. Yeah. So circling back to, you said you got to talk with David Sinclair. It sounds like you were at quite an amazing event, the Live Long Summit. Maybe you can tell our audience like more about it, because I'm sure they're going to want to go to the next one. Like, what was the big takeaway or highlight for you?
You know what? So much information there, but high quality information from speakers. So the lineup of speakers, starting from David Sinclair to Dr. Mark Iman, Brian Jensen, high level. I was just raising the bar. I was putting the bar lower. I was one of the speakers. Like, you look at the lineup and then you see, oh,
are you kidding me?
Is there?
No. Uh-uh. No.
That's you're at the top. True. You're at the top for us.
Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, so a lot of information. What I like the audience, over 1,000 people are attending, and 60%, 60 something percent were like doctors, practitioners, scientists. Everybody was so fascinated by the process of living longer and trying to find out the best way, the tips. And so you see so many molecules named dropped technology. It's a kind of complex and overwhelming for many people out there. When I came on stage, I just said, like, you know what, guys, before starting taking those pills and supplements and metformin and this and this, why don't you drink water with salt and lemon in the morning and you take a walk? And then you, and I was preaching for these natural behaviors, and it got me overwhelmed because people were just like, damn, we were waiting for someone to bring up the thing that the natural process is so important. And so like so many people were just like into that. And this is the problem we do in our society. You know, we always try to find a magic pill in everything. And we forget that you cannot build up on sand. It's as simple as that. And our biology is made in a way that the foundation of who we are is based from where we're coming from. And that is based on natural behaviors. The sun, circadian rhythm, drinking water, talking to people, socializing, and all these processes that are simple and free, you don't have to spend money for it, which you put to 90% of what is required to live up to 130, because our biology is designed for 130, and we live to only 80 average. We have this gap that is abnormal, and that is created by stress only. Environment and stress. Well, environment, that's stress. So if you remove that, you are able, without any pills, any supplement, anything, to live up to 130. And we don't. So we need to address that, to put back the reality of natural processes and natural behaviors. And that was what I was trying to educate people with, and to remind everyone that there's no secret, no magic pill, just like, live.
Just simple. Live. Yeah.
And live long, since it was the Live Long Summit. Honestly, at the end of the day. Yeah. And well, live fit, live long, live well. Yeah. At the end of the day, it was the best summit we have been attending for the past, I would say, 7-8 years. It's not only the audience, but the setup. Like, you have light when you are in the hallways. Most conferences, you're in the dark and you're screwing up your circadian rhythm. You're not hydrated enough. They had water everywhere. And the food was there. Then those speakers have 100% attention when they speak, which is a beauty, because I've been speaking to some events where it's so noisy out there, and like, you end up having like, I don't know, 50 people listening to your speech that you prepared so hardly. And in at the Live Long Summit, you have over 1,000 people listening and listening carefully to what you're saying, because the setup, how it may, it's made, like put you on cameras, on screen, microphone clearly set up. Everything was beautiful. Honestly, kudos to these guys.
Yeah.
That's environment is so important. That's always my biggest gripe about these conferences. I'm like, when do I get to go outside? Yeah. But if you think about everything in our environment, our work environment, our healing environments, a lot of them are not optimized. And so it comes back to the brain. It's like, how can we really be our best selves if we're not in the right environment?
Yeah.
And I was in the hospital recently. I'm like, how am I supposed to get better in this place? How?
Yeah.
How do you do that? So it's a little bit of a lateral move, but just on the topic of the brain, I'm curious, how much do you think that our fear of aging is getting in the way of our aging?
That's an excellent question. Because everything that is related to fear is a generator of stress and anxiety. Everything that is related to anxiety, it's oxidation and inflammation. So it goes against and it's counterproductive for your longevity. That's an excellent point. We shouldn't be stressed about aging, but I'm going to reverse the question. Why are we stressed about aging? What makes you stressed about aging? Is it the fact that you are afraid of not seeing your family? Is it the fact that you are afraid of not being able to move? Is it the fact that you're not going to be able to remember, but then you'll forget, so it doesn't count that much? That was just a joke. What triggers that? Yeah, what triggers that? Is it like the fact that our society has been judging people based on the age and saying, like, if you're over 65, you're not good for anything else and you should stop working and be some sort of a parasite of our society being paid by it. I think, like, if you are aware of your capabilities and how you're going to keep aging, because it's, you cannot change it. We're going to
be inevitable.
Aging. Yeah, it's inevitable.
Yeah, and we could make it better.
Correct. And I think that it's the process itself that it's stress generator, because like every time, you know, it's an unknown pathway, and everything that we don't know scares us a bit, because we like to be in the comfort zone of knowing, controlling, over controlling everything that is around us. But put it this way, tomorrow is tomorrow, yesterday is yesterday. You're in the moment. Split seconds, by split seconds, our life is ending. One split second at a time. It's how you live it during this second that becomes minutes, hours, day, years. Who cares? I'm convinced that in less than 5 years, the calendar age will have zero effect on everything. It's going to shift. Our society will definitely shift on biological age. I came up with a very cool quote, thanks to me. It was at the BioHacker Expo, and I said, like, your biological age is the credit score of your body. And that is it. It says everything.
Yeah, that's
it says
good.
Everything. We pay attention to our freaking credit score. We're trying to build up our credit score all along our lives. And when we turn 50, we have a fantastic credit score. We're super happy, but we don't need it anymore. and in for our biology, we should pay attention to build our biological age credit score for the body. Way more, because in the near future, insurance company, bank, cars, loan, everything will be related to that. If you're 20 and your biological age is 45 because you're overweight, diabetes, and heart problem at the door, no one will lend you money anymore. If you're 40 and your biological age is 20, you're going to have the best rate. You're going to have long terms and lower rates and everything. And our society is going to shift into that. That is definitely my best bet.
Yeah. I mean, to be rewarded for taking care of our bodies is pretty cool. Versus right now, I feel like I'm like, like punished by my insurance company because they don't want to pay for the things that I want to do.
Yeah.
I end up paying cash for things. But do you have a favorite biological age test? Because I know there's so many coming out on the market.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I've tested all of them, even like telomere measurement, methylation, and all these things. And True Diagnostic came among the first. And I discovered glycan age with the 20,000 publication and data. So impressive. So what I've done for a certain time, I used all these tests. Like, for example, I do my biological age on Monday, then I'll do it the same week on Friday, and I wait 2-3 months, and I redo that. Most of them are just like unstable. If you have a bad news, if you have a stressful situation during that day, if you do it in the morning or at night, it's going to change. It's going to make an oscillation in the data that they are providing you. But glycan age, because of their measurement, whatever the time of the day, and I did it 5 times a day, 5 days in a row, steady.
Same.
10%. Yeah. And 3 months
That's
later,
cool.
same
Very
thing.
Cool.
10%. So it became my favorite one. Definitely. I rely. Yeah. Even if I like Anna and True Diagnostic, I think both are valid, but I'm using more glycan age for sure.
Okay. Mm. That's really good to know.
Yeah, we went consistent because as of now, I've been like, I'm going to pick the one that shows I'm the youngest one. That's the one.
Don't you think that some companies are trying to do that just because of the marketing?
I wonder.
Reverse marketing. You're doing the biological age that put people, the youngest one, they're going to buy your stuff more.
Well, I had one where recently where I was older than my chronological age, I was like, that was not good to see. But I did a consultation and the gentleman that did it, he was like, well, were you, feeling under the weather? Were you exposed to anything? And I was like, well, a week before I was around a bunch of people that had COVID. He's like, well, that could have skewed your result. I'm like, oh man. So this probably wasn't very accurate.
Yeah. That's it. Because, we rely on our passport or ID for our age. If our biological age is inaccurate like that, you go to some bank for loan with your biological age and you're 30 and you come back when you have to sign a paper and they check it out and you're like 55. Oh, no, finally, we're not going to sign a paper with you.
Yeah. I like the stability. All right. So glycan age, that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
Okay.
And I think it's a process. When you look at it, the way it is done, the science behind it, it's quite interesting because of the glycan on the surface of our cell that are really a sign of inflammation and oxidation. So it makes sense that this is one of the best way to measure the overall inflammation of your body.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they actually just added, I don't know if you've seen it, a new report. I think it's now live as of like 2 weeks ago, where they're actually giving people potential risks for different diseases. Like for mine, actually, like heart disease and lupus came up. I have a higher risk based off of my glycan age test. And it's not saying I'm going to get those, obviously, right? It's just saying you are at a higher risk, but that's a pretty cool added feature, I think, for people.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Like even yesterday I had this question toward that same, like, would you go for a full body scan or a CT scan or whatever. Think about it. You go through it. First is expensive. And then they say like, hey, you know what? We just found a little, very, very tiny aneurysm in your brain. We need to check out what's going on. We have thousands of these in our brain that they can burst and it's no effect at all. But you're going to wait 30 days to get those results that are telling you that, oh, it was not important. During those 30 days, your oxidative stress is going to go like to the roof. Your biological age is going to go right down. So you've been doing that to optimize your longevity, but actually you almost killed yourself in the process of learning more about your body. I love the approach. I love the approach of full body scan. I love the approach of epigenetic and everything. I think that we should start by doing a gut microbiome and mouse analysis, because food is medicine and it starts from there. And then you can go to epigenetic, genetic scan, brain. But once again, there is many steps before getting to that point. And hopefully, in the near future, the price will go down because more and more people will use it. And if our healthcare system changes, they're going to see that one body scan, for example, can save $300,000 to the healthcare system. Time 50 million, 500 million. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're going to want to save the money. So that'll be an incentive for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But right now there's, I mean, you brought up an interesting point. There is such a gap between like getting these test results and then having the consultation, getting the information. I have clients that come to me all the time. If their physician runs their test and like, oh my God, I got these labs back. I think I'm dying and I can't get in with my doctor for 3 more months. They're like, please tell me what's going on. I'm like that. The psychology of that is just awful, awful,
awful.
And luckily we have the health coaching area for to kind of bridge that gap and step in and to support that psychology. But there's a lot that needs to change, I think, in terms of prevention medicine. It's heading in the right direction, but like the way that it is shared and expressed to the average person really needs some support.
I agree. But I think you guys, you guys do the right thing. It's like you have this mindful approach to these things, and then you educate your client to be self-aware, and those are the two crucial points: be mindful and self-aware. And then it is what it is. Okay, you're gonna have to wait, you are gonna have to do these things, but don't overstress because you're killing yourself.
Easier said than done.
What are your tips? Like positive affirmations or gratitude journaling? What do we do?
One simple thing, but very, very simple. Why are we anxious? Why are we always stressed by our environment, our situation, other people, and whatever? It's because we're getting tons of information at a pace that we cannot control them. The best way to be in the state I am today, the ultimate enlightenment and zenness that I haven't ever been in my entire life, is the fact that I'm able to be with myself. And what I mean by be with myself is I can stay with myself for 2 hours in a row without music, without anything, no noise, no phone, no reading, no, not even journaling, not even writing, just be. And that teaches you that you are alive in this moment. And the only things that counts is how your system is functioning at that pace, where you are in harmony with your environment and yourself. And this really teach your brain to be on this kind of monk state where you're not affected by anything anymore. And it's a cheesy way to say it, but you live in the moment. In conclusion, and that's the way.
I agree with you.
That's the only way.
Yeah, and we got to talk to you on your podcast about that, just being. I just want to argue for a moment. Like, there are a lot of people out there that cannot sit with themselves. They have to come into that work in a different way. Like, they can't just jump to sitting quietly. That is chaotic for a lot.
Why is that? Yeah.
Why is that? I mean, there's many reasons. Unresolved trauma. It could be psychological. It could be physiological. It could be gut dysfunction, vagal nerve disruption, could be PTSD, anxiety. You know, there's so many different inputs, but for some people, telling them to sit quietly is the worst thing they could do.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
In their minds.
I know. Yeah, I know. But don't you think that it's because the first thing that they've never learned in their life is breathe?
Hmm.
We are not, as kids, no one ever told us how to breathe. We have kids going on like crisis. What our parents were doing. Stop it. You calm down. It's the worst thing that you can tell a kid. Calm down. It will never calm down. But if you were going to your kid and you go like, hey, it's finished. We have never been educated that way. Let's try to change that system. And then all the society will be completely different. And more people will be able to sit still with themselves.
Yeah. Or just the permission to feel the feelings.
Correct.
As a kid.
You are right. Right? Yes. Yeah.
And then just like suppress and put it somewhere inside of your body and wait for it to come out 30 years later.
That's.
Where does it go? Does it go away?
It doesn't go away.
Oh, yeah. It's like the beach ball analogy. I think we had a recent guest say. It's like you can only push the beach ball underwater for so long, and then they start popping up everywhere.
Yeah, that's very cool. I
like whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Do you know whack-a-mole, Gene? Yeah. They just keep coming.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
I was out to dinner the other night with friends of mine, and they have a 1 year old and a 2.5 year old. They have their hands full, and she was telling me how like they don't tell the kids when they're crying to just stop crying, mm-hmm. and she says it actually drives her crazy now when she sees other parents doing that to their kids. Yeah. But you know, you're not going to tell another parent how to parent.
No, but she's like,
when they're crying, she like sits with them. The same way you would sit with like another adult.
Beautiful.
If they were crying, like how would you treat an adult that's crying? You should teach treat your kids similar way, not just shut up and stop crying.
Mm. Yeah, because we say the same things. We haven't been educated to breathe and to listen, but we lack of empathy and compassion. That's the thing. Like most of the time, how do you treat an adult that is crying? Most people will just walk away and scared about like showing some compassion there and trying to understand why they're crying. And it's the first thing that we should try to understand. And you don't have to go to the extreme of crying to do that first step of trying to understand people. Like understand, you know, I never argue with anyone for that reason. It's because I'm not in their shoes. Mm-hmm. And if you start by just like trying to argue, it raises the anxiety of both the people that are talking. And at the end of the discussion, it's not going to be concluding in any point. Everybody will go back home with the same feeling and frustration. But if you just step back and you go like, if I was in her shoes or his shoes, why would I say that thing? And you can ask the same question to the other. But if you put that in that direction, there's no more war. There's no more fight. No more fight. Everybody will try to understand each other. And even if you don't understand, you will at least understand why they have this type of dialogue or argument with you, which is acceptable or not acceptable, it's fine, but at least you understand the process of it instead of just like rejecting everything in block and saying like, no, you're wrong. No one is wrong. If people were spending 30 seconds with other people all the time, I think we're all unique snowflake. I don't say that many times, but we can understand that everybody on this planet has value. Point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that approach. Yeah.
Well said. Yeah. Well, Gene, we're almost at the end of our time, but we can't finish this podcast without us asking about your fitness. You're one very impressive human.
Yeah.
I'm just so impressed with you. Like your experience as a scientist, your humility, everything that you know about the brain and just being human. And then you look at your Instagram page and you were out of this world. Insane.
Thank you.
How does your fitness play a role in who you are?
I think it's a big part of it. I cannot live one day without working out. Not extremely, like in the same philosophy I was saying before. I'm going to work out every day, but I'm going to always listen to my body. So some days I'm going to stretch and do handstand for 20 minutes. And some other days I'm going to go all the way intense for 2 hours. But it's all like you listen to your body. You don't force to the point that you are so exhausted and you overtrain. And it's been a buildup because of the focus and the dedication that my brain has dictated to performances. Is I'm trying, honestly, to see to what extreme I can go in terms of doing what I'm doing in calisthenic, in gymnastic. And the problem, which is a great problem to have, is every day I go to the gym and every day I increase my performances just a bit, but I come back happy enough. And the day after, it's another challenge. And I'm going to try to go just a bit better to... And you always think that you can reach the perfection, but there is no perfection. It doesn't exist in life. So this is the beauty of performance and putting your fitness level to the highest level. In conclusion of that is your brain is what makes your fitness. Is like the motivation and the dedication you have for... How do you want to treat your body? I don't lift weights, so I'm not in front of a mirror watching myself how good looking I am. First, I don't need that, I know.
And don't need a mirror for that.
Yeah, boom. But and then it's the fact that you are in a flow state when you train. And if you are in a flow state, I don't train with my phone with me. My phone is on music and is on mute on the other side and is on in a bag and I don't see it. I'm listening to music. So many people are not paying attention to what they're doing. So you cannot perform in whatever the sport you are doing if you are paying attention to your Instagram account or talking to 50 people. You can talk after, you can talk before, but when you train and you put your efforts into what you're doing so you can analyze every single move that you're doing and close your eyes to memorize them, use a couple of techniques to improve the process of memorization, and then you perform better. And I don't know, you know what my goal, it's like being 130 and doing those things.
Yeah. I bet you will be.
I will.
Oh, yeah. I know you will be.
I'm convinced.
Yeah. I really appreciate that about the phone, because I actually, when I go to the gym, I always put my phone in the locker for the hour I'm there. And I always love it. I come out, my brain feels like refreshed just because I didn't look at my phone for a whole hour. And then recently I was part of a sleep study where I had to wear a Garmin for 6 weeks. And it sends all your texts and your phone calls to your watch. And during those 6 weeks at the gym, it was so distracting. Sorry, Lauren's like, I know she was texting me one time.
Yeah, one time I was like, I need you.
It was it was an emergency. So I guess there is some benefit of that. But every time it buzzed, I would look at my watch during the workout. And I was like, man, this is distracting. So I don't wear it anymore. Yeah. But anyways.
That's the thing. And wearables are terrible for that. It's like your phone is like, we say that. But my phone is not on before 8:30 in the morning and it's off at 9:30 at night. And someone asked me yesterday, how do you do with emergency? And I go like, there's two emergencies. My daughter first, my wife second. Outside of that, I don't think that I'm going to save any lives for anyone. And what was so important at 11 to disturb my sleep or going to bed routine, if you wait 10 hours, it was not that urgent. What we find as urgent and emergency on the moment, on the spot, it's because our reptilian brain is triggered and we're just like on panic. But if you step back from there and you're just like, wow, okay, no one died.
Yeah, let's redefine urgent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got your sleep. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. All right, well, one final question for you. Sure. If you can leave our audience with a final piece of advice, something that you think they should start doing today to optimize their health, what would that be?
Be mindful, for sure. But I think one tip, one important, very important tip is try to really look at these sunrises in the morning. And if you do that for 5-6 days in a row, I bet your life is going to change. Honestly, you're not going to feel the same a week later. And you're going to be so pumped up that you're going to be improving your life on a daily basis, just naturally. And start by that, just that. Yeah,
that's great.
It's because, you know, this sunlight has so much effect on our circadian rhythm, on our sleep, on our mood, on many aspects. I could have brought the water in the morning or meditation, but is the sunlight the key to everything? Yeah.
That's such a goal. I want to see the sunrise in the morning. That's all right. I'm going to start leaning towards that closer and closer.
Please do it.
Yeah.
And do it like the first day, you do it the second day after. You know what happened actually? After 7 days, you get addicted to it.
I could see that.
That you don't want to miss it anymore because you feel so great. And if you have to walk to see that sunrise, it's even better because the time you walk to see the sunrise, you are in the expectation of the sunrise that is going to be beautiful. And you are in a phase where your brain starts to go into meditation pattern, and you get there and you see this sunrise and you're just like taking the time to see the sun there for like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. And then you cannot miss that anymore.
Oh, you probably get amazing sunrises in Miami.
In Miami. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, if you've gotten up early, you're going to be tired earlier. So you're going to go to bed earlier and then you're more easily going to wake up the next day, right? It just takes one time to like get yourself out of bed.
It's true. That's the thing. We sometimes we say like, oh, we're going to put my an alarm or something. I've never used alarm even when I fly. But it's just like... I follow the sun pattern. I know that I'm waking up like 45 minutes before the sun because we're like matched. And he calls me before he goes there.
You got a thing with the sun. Okay. I see.
Yeah. And so my sleep varies around the year. And Miami is very good for me because, you know, the time difference between night and days, winter and summer, are not big. Like in Canada, you can have like 6 hours variation. But in Miami, in the summer, the sun goes down at 8. And in the winter, it goes down at 6:30. It's no big deal. Yeah. You know, it's not a big difference. So you adjust yourself. And that's why Miami helped me a lot.
Yeah. Good place to be then. Awesome.
Amazing. Right.
Well, thank you for all of this.
I want to keep talking. No, don't leave.
Let's hang out.
Just stay on.
Can you tell us or tell our audience where they can find you and follow you and learn more about you?
Yeah. My website, jeanfalacara.com, is pretty much the central spot where you can find my LinkedIn, my Instagram at Cyborg Gains, my YouTube channel, No Plan B Podcast, and all these things, but it's the central point where all the information are. And my phone number is out there. That's the thing, you know, I always say that. And when I say that yesterday, this morning, I got like 122 WhatsApp messages. And I was just, oops.
Oh,
this is stressful.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. You're like, pause, gotta go see the sun.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly.
Great. Well, we'll link to all that in the show notes because I know everyone would want to follow you and learn more.
Yeah, and I reply to everybody. So,
You're so generous.
You're amazing.
You really are. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
I love you. Just that. I love you.
I love you too. Let's do more.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hopefully in person. All right. Well, that is a wrap. Thanks to everyone that tuned in today. We will see you next time.
Love this episode of the Biohacker Babes podcast? head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We truly appreciate your support.
Until then, happy biohacking.
This podcast offers health, fitness, and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional.